Man Up 102.5, the game final hour on this Thursday. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We start our 11 a.m. hour, as we always do on Thursdays, by going to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, to speak with the voice of Vanderbilt football, Andrew Allegretta. Andrew, as always, thanks for coming on. How's it going today?
I'm doing well. What's going on with you guys?
Not a ton. It's been a quiet week around here, Andrew, as I'm sure you've heard.
You guys.
Well, Andrew, the Vanderbilt coming back from the bye week, taking on LSU. I heard you mention it on the broadcast a couple weeks ago about how Vanderbilt got the latest open week, at least their first open week of the season. Did it feel like this was necessary and a good reset for this team heading into the back half of the schedule?
I think it was super necessary to get the bye week. The question is, how do you come out of the bye week and perform? Talking with Clark a bunch throughout the course of the week, you know, he feels like, again, it's just a super mature team. He doesn't worry necessarily about how they're going to take care of their business and all of that sort of stuff. So, I think they will handle the bye week pretty well. I think they'll take care of their business. They'll practice as they did throughout the course of this week and be just fine. But you still have to kind of knock off the rust, quote. But hopefully they come out flying pretty good on Saturday.
Well, you got LSU coming into town, who LSU came off their bye week and was able to beat South Carolina, a top 10 team in the country, but maybe a team that looks more vulnerable than they did at the beginning of the year. How do you think Vanderbilt stacks up with a Tigers team that has struggled on the offensive side of the ball at the very least this season?
Yeah, it's a really interesting matchup, Jake. I think there's plenty of skill out there for LSU that certainly could make life difficult for Vanderbilt. I'm really curious about a couple of things. First off, Blake Baker, the defensive coordinator, has been a challenge for Vanderbilt in three previous meetings, twice at Missouri, once at LSU a season ago. I think they're averaging like 17 points per game in those three contests. Obviously, this offense is a little bit better for Vanderbilt than the previous couple of seasons. But he's a difficult defensive coordinator. I mean, he's going to try to tee off on you. He sends like six guys after the quarterback and into the backfield on like 40% of the snaps, somewhere in that territory. So they're going to have to handle that. And whether that's kind of beating the rush with Diego Pavia's legs with some quick throws out to the wide receiver, some quick slants, screen game, I don't know. We'll see exactly how they kind of go about that. But that's one thing that I think is really compelling about this. And then the second is going to be Nussmeier. I mean, he's a guy that certainly could end up a first-round NFL draft pick. We'll see. But it feels like, and I don't want to kind of get into their training room too much, but he's obviously dealt with some bumps and bruises this season. And how does he come out firing against the defensive line in Vanderbilt that was able to sack Ty Simpson four times with defensive linemen, not by linebackers, not by safeties, not by corners, defensive linemen. So those are a couple of matchups that are going to be really interesting and I think could sway the course of this game.
Obviously, the Bama loss was a tough one, but bouncing back and getting a win over LSU, what do you think that would say about this program and how far they've come along?
I mean, TD, I think it would just say that we're in the mix. I think we've kind of acknowledged the fact that Vanderbilt's going to be a tough out, if not a very competitive winning team throughout the course of this season so far, but you still have to go and execute those games, right? It would be nice to kind of turn the page from perhaps Vanderbilt being a plucky upstart to a team that's just going to stick around throughout the course of October and November. I think for the most part, we have kind of turned the page on that narrative, but you do again have to execute and get the wins to stay part of the conversation. They've been ranked in the top 25 for five consecutive weeks. So I think for the most part, people are believing that Vanderbilt is what we have put on film throughout the course of six games so far. But, you know, every game, TD, is kind of its own little mini story. They connect to each other in an extent, but they also don't, right? Like, you can go execute on one Saturday and then not execute on the next Saturday. How much of that is your opponent? You know, certainly some of it is, but not all of it is. So they do have to continue to execute and perform well to make sure that they stay part of the conversation. I don't know that this team is really wrapped up in what wins and losses say about Vanderbilt football anymore. I think the team is just kind of saying, like, we believe we're here to stay, so the job is to go out and win this Saturday.
Yeah, no doubt. And they shouldn't be caught up in that. I was curious what your thoughts were on that. But you look at – you talk about games being connected but not being connected at the same time. I mean, this game, then you got Missouri, you got Texas, Auburn, Kentucky, then Tennessee. Like, this is a pretty intriguing stretch coming up. So how do you think this team is built to handle what's on the menu for the rest of this year as they look to climb into that bowl contention status?
I honestly think this week will tell us a lot about that. I do. One of the things that we have believed, TD, is the way that they've been able to construct this roster and take snaps off of guys in the month of September, setting them up for October and November will pay dividends. Hmm. That's been the strategy, but now you're in October and now you're going to be in November. So your strategy then has to pay off. Like, Diego Pavia ran the football in the first game versus Virginia Tech a season ago, like 22, 23 times. Like, that's not been the recipe for them so far this season, which means he's taken less hits through the month of September, which then should matter for October and November. They've been able to rotate the defensive line more. They've taken hits off of some of those guys. That should help them in October and November. So, you know, the stretch is difficult. I'm curious to see, and I suspect the case is that it will benefit them, but the strategy was to take hits off of guys by providing depth at critical spots. And, you know, now is when rubber meets the road.
Andrew, I think one of the things I'm most interested to see on Saturday is what the crowd looks like. And I know you're probably just as intrigued to see as well, because this Vandy fan base really has rallied around this team over the last two seasons. And you've seen a whole lot of black and gold filling that stadium so far this year. But you look at LSU, that is a fan base that travels well no matter where they go, and you factor in the tourist destination that Nashville is. How much of a factor could the crowd play on Saturday? I know Clark Lee put out, you know, kind of a call to action for Vandy fans to fill that stadium up, because LSU fans are known to take over whatever stadium they go to.
Yeah. I think it's a call to action, and I think we all want it because of the pride that we feel in black and gold, the pride that we feel in the investment that we've put into the football program, the upgrades to the north and south end zone. Like, we've internally, and Clark certainly leading the charge, and Chancellor Dearmeyer and Candace have all kind of invested into the program, and we love this community. So we want it to show up and rally around all of the student athletes and everybody that's invested and be part of a community that we can feel prideful in. Every single Saturday. Clark's talked about that. You know, how much of a factor? I don't know. They beat Alabama at home last year with a decidedly Alabama crowd. They beat Virginia Tech at home last year with a decidedly Virginia Tech crowd. Things have been way better here this season, which is great. Like, but, you know, one of the things, and this is just, I guess, the Vandy guy talking, but I'll shoot straight with you. I think one of the things that feels a little bit queasy on our end sometimes, and to an extent it is deserved, and I get that, but like the narrative about other teams taking over stadiums is often directed at Vanderbilt. I mean, like, the Preds deal with that when the Blackhawks come to town, or the Rangers come to town, or whoever.
The Titans will see it this weekend.
Yeah, the Titans are going to deal with it this weekend with the Patriots. So it's not an exclusively Vanderbilt thing. Like, we are a tourist to town, which is great. Right. And we love the fact that elevates the economy and all of that sort of stuff. So, you know, from a Vanderbilt perspective, I get the genesis of the question, but sometimes I kind of want to step back and go, like, you know, everybody else in this market deals with it too. It's not just us. I get why it's a little bit grander for us because of the way some of these fan bases travel, Tennessee kind of being right here and them kind of taking over that east side and Georgia. I mean, I get it. I'm not naive to it, but I don't know. I've been prideful in the way Vanderbilt fans have stepped up here this year, and we've seen great crowds for Charleston Southern or for Utah State or for Georgia State. What the crowd looks like, I don't know. I want to see the boys go play football on Saturday.
Yeah, now you make a great point. This is a destination city, so you're always going to have an influx of the opposing team's fans. That's spot on. I'm curious, because we talked about Jordan Matthews last week. I'm just curious how you've seen him kind of get himself into the mix in this short period of time.
Yeah, so I actually have stuff I can talk about, because we talked to him back on Monday. You know, he told us openly, like, he had a lot of different things he could have gone and done. This is the former NFL receiver, Jordan Matthews, not the current cornerback that Vanderbilt has, Jordan Matthews. But, you know, he had other opportunities. You can tell that the community and what Clark is doing and the black and gold matters to him. He wants to be, and you see this from a lot of former players, he wants to be a resource for the guys. So he has been around constantly, obviously, throughout the course of the season, but now in a more formalized role as someone that is just a resource 24/7, specifically for the receivers, because that has been his position. But he wants, you know, it can be a lonely position sometimes. Say you blow out your ACL and you're stuck on the sideline and you don't feel like anybody in your current circle understands what you're going through. Well, you've got somebody in Jordan Matthews. I'm not saying that exact situation, but you've got somebody that can relate to you as someone that has gone through it before. It basically becomes an older brother sort of situation, which is really significant. You know, Shea Ralph is the women's basketball coach at Vanderbilt. She dealt with her own injuries, and she had Jordan Cambridge on the roster, and she could really bond with Jordan having gone through the same injuries. When you have somebody on the staff that can really create that sort of understanding for football players and help them move through it and be humans and not just robots out there playing football, that's really important. So that's how he sees himself, as well as some X's and O's, offensive consultant sort of stuff, like as a positive there. But man, he's a jubilant guy. He brings a lot of energy on the practice field, and you just get the sense that, like, that's your older brother, Jordan Matthews, and he's gonna help you understand the path that you're walking.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football. You can catch Andrew with Kevin Ingram, Norman Jordan on the call, 9:30 pregame, 11 a.m. kickoff against LSU on Saturday. Andrew, appreciate your time. We'll talk to you on Saturday morning.
Yes, sir. Thank you, guys.
Andrew Allegretta, voice of the Commodores. Vandy looking for a 6-1 start with a win over a top 10 LSU team at home coming off the bye week. We'll react to what Andrew had to say coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly. We got the Monday Night Football intro. Fun fact, part of the video for that was filmed inside Memorial Gym on Vanderbilt's campus.
Really?
Yeah.
It's, okay.
One of the little tunnels back there, they filmed Chris Stapleton. At least that's what I've been told. I mean, I might have to fact check myself there. But, yeah, Chris Stapleton, there's a video, part of the video, the hype song, like he's walking down a hallway, and that's inside Memorial. Speaking of Vanderbilt. Andrew Allegretta was just with us in the last segment. Great stuff from Andrew as the Commodores take on LSU on Saturday. That is an 11 a.m. kick on ABC News 2 here in Nashville, so make sure you tune in there. You can tune in right here on 102.5 The Game as well. Looking at this Vanderbilt team, they're coming off the bye week, and TD, not enough is being made about how this team is favored over LSU. Like, yeah. This is a Vandy team that 50-plus SEC games in a row, they've been the underdog. And not only are they favored this week, they're favored against a top-10 LSU team.
Tells you where the program is right now. So I think when you look at that, asked Andrew, you know, you look at this, this is the start of a tough stretch. And a win in this game could launch them. You stack momentum from week to week, you know what I mean? And this is one of the ones where it could – walking around campus and working through practice with a victory over a top-10 team, it does a lot.
Right. And it puts you in kind of the driver's seat moving forward with – Missouri's a tough team coming in next week, but that's a team that I think you'd be favored against as well, depending on how – if you do win this week against LSU, I think you'd be favored. Then you got to go to Texas. I think that Texas game is – that could be the turning point for Vanderbilt. Because you look at Auburn and Kentucky, not saying either of them are pushovers, but, like, compared to the other teams on your schedule, they aren't quite as formidable as an LSU, a Missouri,
right,
a Tennessee. So that Texas game, that could be the difference between being 9-2 heading into Tennessee or 8-3. And there's a big difference there because a three-loss Vandy team – I think you're still on the bubble of the college football playoff instead of firmly inside, which you would be at 10-2.
Yeah, and a victory over that top 10, like that would help a whole lot. You know what I mean? It would definitely help them as far as you're talking about, as far as the strength of schedule, the strength of your victories. That's a significant win for them.
Right, and Texas, I understand it's not the preseason number one Texas that we thought of them coming into the year, but they did just get a huge win against their rival in Oklahoma with their backs against the wall. Like Penn State and Texas, we talked about it last week, of those teams did not have any room for error to lose again if they wanted to make the playoffs. And, of course, Penn State lost to Northwestern, James Franklin out the door. Texas did answer the call, and they got the win against Oklahoma. Their schedule isn't as difficult as a lot of other teams across the SEC. Like, when you look at the ranked games they've got left, they have Vanderbilt at home, they go to Georgia, and they've got A&M. But it's not like they're playing four or five straight ranked teams. Like, South Carolina's schedule is just a gauntlet. So this is a Texas team that, hey, they just beat Oklahoma. They got Kentucky and Mississippi State the next couple of games. That's a team that could just be 6-2 and hitting their stride when Vandy plays them. Could end up looking like a lot more important win than maybe you're looking at it as right now.
Yeah, and like to me, that LSU one, get that first, right? And that one, that's a notch.
Yeah.
And then obviously, you know, you got Missouri next week, and then you got Texas. But I think when you look at, like, if they could get wins in those three games, like, that really is good for their schedule. The thing I like about this weekend, though, you know, you got the Pearl Cone graduate coming back.
Right,
Barron Brown. Who, he has that easy speed. So I'm looking forward to watching that game.
Yeah, going to be a good one. And as Andrew said, I think we're going to learn a lot about what this Vanderbilt team is after this week. Quickly on Tennessee, they've got a big game this weekend, too. Down in Tuscaloosa, third Saturday in October. Kind of in a similar spot to Vandy. You've got one loss on the year. This is a statement game that you can go and put yourself firmly in the playoff conversation. Tennessee's only loss was, you know, 3-point overtime loss against Georgia. Alabama's playing some great football this year, at least over the last couple of weeks. That's going to be a heck of a game down in Tuscaloosa, and Tennessee has a chance to put themselves right in the national spotlight with a win.
Yeah, and I think when you look at that, going down there and getting that win, obviously this isn't Nick Saban's Crimson Tide, but still it is a group that is very talented, and going in there and getting a win there in a tough place to play, that would do volumes for them. And imagine – and that's the thing that I – so you look, you got Vandy, Tennessee to end the year.
Yeah.
Imagine they both go in there with one loss, right?
Or even two. Because if each of them have two, one of them, if you're 10-2, you're getting in.
That's what I'm saying. Same record. Imagine the way that game would be viewed and looked upon. And I think when you look at that, Tennessee getting that win in Alabama, something that Vanderbilt couldn't do, that gives them, you know, a bit of an advantage. But you play the game, and I'm looking forward to seeing that one at the end. But in the meantime, I think when you look at Tennessee – you know, they are a team that they could go in there and win that game. Absolutely. Because I think they are talented. I really like Brew McCoy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A big-time playmaker. So, and he and Aguilar, if they could connect early and make some things happen, it'd be big.
Yeah, and Chris Brazel's been great this year for Tennessee. So, lots to like on the college football slate this weekend. Mm-hmm. Didn't even mention Georgia and Ole Miss playing. Like, you've got tons of huge SEC matchups this week, and also Notre Dame USC. Like, that's an elimination game for both those teams, I think, in terms of the playoffs. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Well, we got a couple of minutes here. Speaking of Notre Dame, Corey Curtis brought up Marcus Freeman as a possible name for the Titans coaching job. Would that make sense to you, or is there any college coaches that you'd think of bringing in, or does it kind of have to be an NFL
No,
guy?
I think this organization, because of how rudderless it is, they need someone who you instantly know, okay, this is what you're getting. And you do know that with Marcus Freeman, but they need someone who is like, this is what you're getting NFL-wise.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's why it's important to get someone that has been there and done it before.
I agree. But I do think if you did look at the college ranks
Freeman surely would be at the top of that list with maybe a Dan Lanning and and Ryan Day. But, yeah, I'm kind of with you. You want somebody who's done it before at that spot. And that's why the names we've been bringing up, Mike McCarthy, Arthur Smith, Jim Schwartz, Matt Nagy, all those guys have head coaching experience across the NFL. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts and comments, your questions on our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. When we come back, we'll get back into the Titans. Let's talk about the elephant in the room coming up next. Mike Vrabel making his return to Nashville on Sunday. How bad could this get in Nissan Stadium on Sunday? And TD talked with some of the players yesterday, Tajay Spears, Amani Hooker, about their feelings having their former coach coming back to play them on the other sideline. We'll get into it coming up next. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game, final 30 minutes on this Thursday. Been a fun show. Teron Davenport in with us as he is every Thursday. Chasing Big Joe coming up at the top of the hour. Don't forget, tomorrow, Max Herz will be with us from 9 to 10. From Preds Radio, Preds playing tonight, taking on Montreal for Game 3 of their four-game Canadian road trip. So we'll get the lowdown on all things Preds and how they've done so far up in the Great White North. A win on Monday over Ottawa, a loss, their first regulation loss of the season to Toronto on Tuesday. Back into the Titans here, TD. The big story this week, of course, is Brian Callahan being fired, but it's kind of overshadowing what we thought was going to be the overarching storyline of the week, Mike Vrabel returning to Nashville. And he did a Zoom with Nashville media yesterday, and one of the funniest ones was, do you have any mementos from your time in Nashville? He says, no, but the goodwill on 8th Avenue might. So Mike Vrabel coming back to town, I'm sure that he is going to want to win this game and win it in large fashion. Yeah. But what's this going to be like for the Titans, the players, seeing Mike Vrabel on the other sidelines for the first time?
Yeah, it's going to be a really, really cool situation. And obviously, these guys, a lot of them, they have connection to Mike Vrabel for various reasons. And I think when you look at some of the guys, Tajay Spears, you know, he's looking forward to going and seeing Mike Vrabel. They connected on a level in regards to mental health and things like that. So being able to go back, and Vrabel's the guy that drafted him. He was pretty well behind that, you know, so you have that. Amani Hooker, Jeffrey Simmons. I love Simmons' comments, you know, where he was like, you know, the relationship, he couldn't care less about it on Sunday. And these guys, they know that it's going to be a dogfight. There's a total of 14 guys on the roster.
Right.
10 on the 53-man, two practice squad, and two on IR. And so when you look at that, there's a good portion of this team that has familiarity with Mike Vrabel, and I guarantee you all of those guys are looking forward to seeing him. But once the whistle, like once the kickoff is good, oh, that's out the window. They are playing football. That's their job. That's their passion. That's what they're going to do.
And this is a Patriots team that's playing good football They just beat the Bills a couple of weeks ago on Sunday Night Football, ended their chance at an undefeated season early on. They beat the Saints last week. I did want to get your thoughts on this, because the Saints and it's one game. It doesn't mean this is the perfect way to attack this Patriots defense, but it's a Patriots defense that's stout up front with Christian Barmore, Milton Williams in the middle. First play of the game for the Saints against the Patriots was a deep shot to Chris Olave down the sidelines. Christian Gonzalez is a really good cornerback. Do you think the Titans maybe do try and take a shot early, although we'll say Calvin Ridley may not be on the field on Sunday?
Yeah, well, why not look at your slot receiver? You know what I mean? And go 11 personnel, play action, right, and boot, and find him on a crossing route. Only been calling for this for the last 3 weeks, right, to start the game with
right.
a play action
We've been
pass.
Saying this every single week.
Do it. You know, and every single week we say that they start the game with a run. So how much better could it be set up to do that? So, I mean, yeah, you're right. Me personally, I don't know that I go at Christian Gonzalez with this group of receivers that are there, but still, I think you could go at others. Now, that's Marcus Jones is a good corner.
There's good players over
there. We're not going to act like he's not. So, I mean, this is a pretty young but talented roster.
Yes, and the Patriots, they are 4-2. Drake May seems to be coming into his own. I don't see this going well for the Titans on Sunday. Like, the final score is probably not going to be pretty, and I don't know if Mike Vrabel is going to call the dogs off if they're up 20 late. I mean, I think he wants to run this thing up. But what you want to see is a product that looks better, right? Like, you want to see this Titans offense put together two or three drives where the offense looks capable. That's – I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but they haven't been able to do it. Go put together a couple drives early, maybe a drive late, where the offense is moving the football consistently and you can get into the end zone, because that just hasn't been easy for this team so far.
It has not been easy at all. And I think that's the key, is showing some type of flow on offense, some type of rhythm, you know, and it's major to do that. And that helps the defense also, because the defense, if you watch the games, they're not that bad. But it's just one of those things where the water just keeps hitting and hitting and hitting, and it just gradually erodes the surface. The next thing you know, the dam breaks and a touchdown happens, you know, and that's what this defense continues to deal with.
Yeah, the defense overall, I think outside of the Colts game, has not been bad. The Colts game was their worst game, but look at the Texans game. They had that game 6-0, and the L'Jarius Sneed, 2nd and 33, kind of broke the dam, like you said, and opened up the floodgates. Same thing in Arizona. Like, yeah, they gave up a couple of early scores, but they settled in, kept the team in the game. Got some help, of course. Right. And the Raiders game, like, Cam Ward handed them 7 points there. If he doesn't do that, it's what, 3-0 heading into the locker room at halftime? So the defense has been fine. If they can slow down Drake May, and Stephon Diggs has started to look more like the Stephon Diggs of old, you know, if they can slow down that Patriots offense and give your offense a chance, maybe they can keep this close.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not counting on it. Ben on our text line says, best case scenario, we lose 55-6. Best case.
Dang.
I think I will say, I think he's saying that that's what he wants, because he wants Amy to be humiliated. I heard Chase and Big Joe, this was their question of the day yesterday. Would you be on the side of wanting the Titans to go win and beat Vrabel on Sunday, or get absolutely blown out by Vrabel? For me, they already fired the head coach. Like, no more change is coming. You'd like to see progress and see this team at least be competitive. They're not going to win the game, but I'd like to see them be competitive.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's all you could ask for, see them be competitive. And it's gotten bad to the point where I could see fans like, hey, lose the rest of them for draft status. You know, so
I think Vrabel's going to get a big cheer on Sunday. There's going to be a lot of Patriots fans there, but yeah. I would guess a lot of the Titans fans are going to cheer him too.
No tribute.
No tribute. We've been talking about it all week. No tribute. I question whether it's deserved. Like, he did do a lot when he was here, but I don't disagree with the decision not to do it.
No, I don't disagree.
Especially based on where the Titans franchise is now. Like, if the Titans, if Brian Callahan was the guy and they were 4-2 as well right now, I think you do it. Yeah. Honestly, to be like, hey, guess what? We moved on and we're in a good spot too. But with the way the franchise has trended since he left, I kind of agree with the decision not to do it.
No, absolutely.
Harold Landry should get one though.
Yeah, you know.
Maybe not a full tribute video, but at least like
maybe
a thank
like
you,
show
Harold.
Him. Show him on a returning to Nissan Stadium, Harold Landry.
Yeah, get a big cheer. You know, cheer. Yeah. I think that's all though. But yeah, Mike Vrabel, at the very least, Brian Callahan won't be booed on Sunday. And I guess Mike McCoy might get himself a little cheer when he comes into the stadium.
I don't know what's going to happen.
I hope the Titans show up on Sunday. Have a little bit of pride and go out and see if you can make this a game heading into the fourth quarter. I'm not counting on it, but I'd love to see some progress, because it does seem like this team has been moving in reverse for the last month. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Last call for phones. We'll get to your text coming up next and get out of here on this Thursday. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Finishing up the show on this Thursday, next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. Chase and Big Joe coming up next at the top of the hour from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Preds play tonight, 5 o'clock pregame, 6 o'clock puck drop from Montreal,
And Max Herz will be with us tomorrow morning from 9 to 10 on the program. Do want to mention, Max just put out the Preds morning skate lines in Montreal and a new top line for the Preds. Phil Forsberg, Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos. Looks like they'll get the run at the top line. Brady Martin out again based on these lines. And it is going to be Joe Svechkov and Evangelista on the second line. So excited to watch some hockey tonight. Let's get back to some of your texts here before we get out of here. Thomas on a car phone says, Jake and TD, I am ready to catch the strep. At this point, they have nothing to lose. Maybe it helps Cam get comfortable out there having a target he knows. And on a side note, he wants to know, TD, what kicks are you wearing today? He says, I'm an avid shoe collector, too. He has a lot of special edition Jays. So what you got on today?
I got some Jordan 5s, you know what I mean? I'll show you.
Yeah, there we go. We're on the stream.
Yeah, put it on there, you know what I mean? Got these right here. 5s are quietly becoming one of my favorite shoes. I actually bought another pair on Saturday. The ones with the cream and the pink.
Oh.
Sick. I may throw them on this weekend. We'll see.
Bought them in Las Vegas?
No. You know what? I almost did buy them in Vegas. I was on the plane, and I want them on sneakers. So on the sneakers app, I was able to get them there. But, yeah.
I love it. And so you're thinking you might pull those out for Sunday?
I think so. I got a pink blazer, and I got to put the outfit together. I just want to see, you know. Vrabel's coming to town, and, you know, the whole crew.
You got to be dressed to the nines.
Well, it's not that. It's just like, you know, I want – They know how I bring it, so
right.
I want to you know keep it going.
That is true.
It's an extra special occasion, though.
Yeah,
I will also be dressed to the nines. Hopefully,
there you go.
Hopefully,
I will probably not. I might be in the stands on Sunday. We'll see.
Okay.
I have not bought tickets. But you know, considering making a trip down there, since this is my last real chance to go see a game at the stadium this year, because once women's basketball season starts, we have games most Sundays,
so
it makes it tough. So I'm considering it. We'll see. Before we wrap up, Thursday Night Football tonight, and what a battle of quarterbacks we have. Aaron Rodgers and Joe Flacco. Who would have thought? 40 and 41 years old going at it tonight, and Aaron Rodgers has the Steelers off to a really good start this year. Flacco in his second game with the Bengals. Maybe not your marquee primetime matchup, but at least some intrigue between these two teams on Thursday Night Football.
Yeah, it's going to be some intrigue. And I mean, I was looking at numbers the other night. You know, Cam Ward has more passing yards than Aaron Rodgers.
Really?
Yeah.
See, I mean, it's crazy to think that because, again, they're what, 4-1? Because they already had their bye week?
They're just playing efficient football, man.
Only 1,000 yards. Has he not thrown the football very often? I mean, he's throwing it 20, 30 times a game, but he's averaging 7.4 yards per attempt. Maybe Cam Ward's just throwing the ball a lot more than I thought. But, you are correct. 1,021 yards for Aaron Rodgers on 68% completion percentage, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. I guess maybe the yards per attempt is better for Aaron Rodgers because, you know, he's completing more of his passes, you know.
Whatever's
I can
happening.
Do a little math in my head there. But, yeah, it should be a fun one tonight. The Steelers, I mean, I never doubt Mike Tomlin because every year he somehow finds his way into the mix. But they're running away with this division with the way the Ravens have started. Baltimore's on a bye week this week, but they're 1-5. And, you know, at 1-5, no matter how talented your team is, it's tough to dig yourself out of that hole. And their schedule does ease up after what's been a brutal start. But it's gotten to the point where you keep thinking, oh, eventually they're going to get there. Eventually they're going to get there. And now they're 3.5 games back of the division, and I don't know if even Lamar Jackson is going to be able to climb that hill to get back to the top of the division.
The good thing is they'll have two more, you know, games against them.
So that is true. That's a quick way to come back.
Quick way to come up. So we'll see what happens there. I wanted to say something. Earlier I said Brew McCoy.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. That's a crossover in my brain. Like, I'm sitting here.
You got Mike McCoy on the mind.
Mike McCoy, and I was looking at something with Mike McCoy, and that name came up. So, my apologies. Great save there. You know, that shifted to Chris Brazel.
Yeah, Chris Brazel. But, hey, Brew McCoy, good wide receiver in his own right.
He was, yes. For them.
Wrapping up the show, we've got Mike McCoy making his debut as the interim head coach, and the interim bump
how much do you give credit to that when it does happen of like, hey, they fired the coach, whether it's a new voice in the room that's able to rally the guys or maybe just the wake-up call for accountability? How much credit do you give an interim bump that maybe we could see on Sunday?
Yeah, I think if it's the right interim, I think for both sides. I've seen it before. I remember Mike Singletary took over for Mike Nolan and this team. Like they had a good stretch. He got named the head coach. The guys went crazy. It didn't work out.
Right.
But, you know, and then you look more recently with Antonio Pierce. He took over and they gained some respectability. He got the job and, you know, they had to hit the reset button there. So for the temporary part of it, yeah, it's cool. It's kind of like an energy drink. You know, like it gives you a temporary,
yeah.
But, you know, in the long run, too much of it is probably not good for you.
Yeah,
you know,
that, so it's a good point.
Yeah, that's the way
it can give you a little boost for one game, but for the rest of the season, it's not going to change all that much for the long haul. I will say Mike Mularkey did win his first game as the interim head coach when he took over for Ken Whisenhunt down in New Orleans, won in overtime over Drew Brees and the Saints. I want to say that's the game where Marcus Mariota threw a ball into double coverage. It bounced off a DB's helmet, and Delanie Walker caught it and ran the rest of the way to the end zone.
Yeah, a little luck helps you along the way, too.
Right. I mean, we saw it when you're a bad team. Luck is kind of what you need to win some of these games. And that one went to overtime. Parker, you might be able to help me out here. Were you around for that TD when Mularkey was the interim? No, you weren't. Was it Anthony Fasano who caught the game-winning touchdown in that game?
In which overtime? Game is this?
The Saints-Titans game. Mularkey's first game as the interim head coach. In overtime, they were at the goal line, and they ran kind of like the boot throwback with Marcus, and he threw it back over.
I don't know off the top of my head.
I want to say it was Anthony Fasano. You know, complete tangent to end the show. Titans Saints, this was in 2015. I got to say, it's, 34-28 was the final. Marcus Mariota got his second career win. His first one was the 4-touchdown game.
Yes, it was Anthony Fasano.
It was Anthony Fasano. So, yeah, Delanie Walker had 2 touchdown catches in that game. Justin Hunter caught the game-tying touchdown with 7 minutes left. Walker had that 61-yard catch off the helmet of the defensive back to get into the end zone. But Anthony Fasano, 5-yard pass for Marcus Mariota. Heck of a game. Maybe we'll see Mike McCoy. Mike M is the interim head coach. Can they get a win in their first game as the head coach of the Titans?
We'll see. Not likely.
I think it's going to be a tougher test on Sunday than what they saw down there in the Big Easy. TD, always appreciate you coming on. We'll do it again next week.
For sure. Appreciate you.
Again, Max Herz going to be with us from 9 to 10 tomorrow, going to talk all things Predators. Predators taking on Montreal tonight. 5 p.m. pregame, 6 o'clock puck drop. And again, we'll get everything from Max Herz about how the Predators have done through the first 3 games of their road trip. Connor Newt will then be in from 10 to 12. We'll get you ready for the football weekend. Plenty to get ready for college football. And, of course, the Titans welcoming Mike Vrabel back to Nissan Stadium on Sunday. That will do it for us. For Teron Davenport and Parker Kelly, I'm Jake Lyman signing off. Chasing Big Joe coming up next here on 102.5 The Game.